Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to a special edition of Ken English's radio program from Daytona Beach. It's called All Around Town. And it's been a while since I've been on the Blog Talk Radio platform, but I'm interested in developing it again. I've got a very special guest with me today, Richard Charette. Richard and I are going to talk about golf, but the platform itself provides the venue and the opportunity to talk about a number of things. And over a period of time, I'm going to touch on a variety of Daytona Beach topics. Today we're on the land side. Not tomorrow, maybe it'll be on the water side. But for right now, Richard Charette, welcome to Around Town on the Blog Talk Radio platform. How are you today?
Fantastic. And thank you for inviting me on to the show. This is a new experience to me. I'm from what I think people would call old school. So this is a new experience. I'm going to enjoy it, going along for the ride.
Well, certainly the technology has evolved over the years. I had the first program I did on this platform was back in 2008. And over the next 4 years, I did several, almost over 2,000, particularly with friends talking about social media and a variety of events that I was involved with in the Miami area. And then in 2012, my focus shifted and I moved, and so it pretty much put it on hold. Somewhat like you in the golf education world, back in the day, and you can say how far back if you want to, you had an educational program that you were developing, a school, and you have a different approach to the game of golf. So, and we're going to touch on some of those facets and those aspects right now, but it's not the traditional teaching method, is it?
Oh, no, no. By far none, but if I'm going to go back to where I started within golf, it was in the early 1990s, and I worked very closely with PGA. Now, PGA is an instructional-type education program. Their main focus is they tell you, show you, and demo to you and expect you to grab it. As you have said, that the electronics has changed over the years, because now we're going back about 18, 20 years here or more. Even the program that I was presenting at that time, I've had a chance even to upgrade it. In the last years, at my school in Ormond Beach was called TLC, and it meant for Transformation Learning Center. And what I meant by the meant the transformation, it literally changed an individual's point of view. It changed their thinking. It changes their way of doing it. And we didn't do this by instruction. It'd probably be a very strange way, but it was done. We had five soundtracks, and they lasted about 45 minutes each. A student would come in, sit in a very comfortable chair. It would lean back like a recliner. They would have a headset on, and they would listen to about 45 minutes of between music and storytelling. It was based 99% on stories. And then they would come out and they would meet with a tutor who would then just ask a few questions about what did you experience, how did it feel, and what insights that they got out of the stories. And mainly was, what was the point of the story? What was the meaning? And we found that that's the people would take and go and actually improve their game quite a bit. Improve it to the point that across the street on North Nova Road up in Ormond Beach was a country club, And we used to use their driving range. And when a student would go from there with something, we'd go to the range with him to put some of the things in practice that they felt that they learned. And lo and behold, each student, I don't know of a student who didn't, that after a few balls hitting, their explanation was, I can't believe how easy this is. I can't believe how good, how simple, and that it works. And that's how it would go. Now, we're comparing, I'm calling this an education program versus an instructional program. And at that time, like now, a lot of the instructional programs that players are experiencing, they take and get an instruction from the PGA, or let's call them experts, expert players, and they go out and improve, much like our program. But they find that the improvement takes place, and after a few weeks or a few months and a couple errant shots that don't quite go where they want them to, they use the term, I lost my swing. They would lose it. And they'd have to come back for the pro, the expert, for more lessons. Well, in our program, we thought we had the whole fix, because ours was not the mechanical game. It was the mental game. And then the mental game would be quite a bit different. I didn't quite experience that, I see that happen yet, but lo and behold, maybe it took a few months longer, but the people, some of the students that we had, would come back to us and willing to pay for it again and say, I want to listen to the program again. And the thing is, there was no complaints. No, it worked just fine. No complaints. They just wanted to listen to it again. But when you dig down and ask them a few more questions, they were also experiencing loss of swing. And it became a puzzle to me. In about 1993, around that period, I was experiencing this too much of loss of swing. And I took on the challenge of, if you have a skill, how could you lose it? So my thing, I became probably, someone might call even obsessed, but a lot of focus on how do you lose your swing? And I figure I'll take a year, couple of years, figure it out, and come back. Well, that was 1993. Now, with this many years later, we're up at 2018. It took that long to come up with the answer. So,
well, back in the day, a guy by the name of Ken Willis wrote an article about you and the program, the TLC program, for the News Journal. And here, these 18 years later or more, Ken Willis is still writing. He is the sports editor for the journal. But just to quote a couple of lines from that particular article, simply put, most golfers don't think correctly. And that covers the wide range of golfers, pros and amateurs, men and women, club champions, and once a month bush hogs. Very few have mastered the 15th club in the bag, their mind. And that's really the principle that you're building on, isn't it? The mind?
Yes. Excuse me. Yeah. In that period that I took off to study it all, I learned that it was not only the mind, because when people will accept they have a body, a spirit, and a mind. Some question some of them, but it's body, spirit, mind. And they're each treated separately. what I've done is over the next few lessons, if we find a way to present this, is I have grouped them together as in one chunk. Rather than thinking of them separately, I think of them as one unit. And I've re-terminated, I've put a new terminology name on it. It's called show. Now, there is one show that there's some out there already, I'm saying, show sense. I think you've heard that before. It starts off with a beginner's mind, and then from there, we go into four series of show, but it groups it all together as one. I don't know if that makes it clear. I think we could, one way we'll show it visually when we go into visual type presentations. And in talking, this is actually being the first time that I'm really talking to it as to an outside audience. I know you and me have been discussing for the last few months to bring this to market. We reevaluated it, knock it apart. Does the society, does the groups need it? And we both come to agreement, I think, that let's make the effort and see if others can understand it. Quite simple when you studied it for a long time. It's like, oh, easy. But learning it new and transferring the information is a little bit different. And that's where instructions and education come in different. Instructions, they transmit information, like a radio show. You transmit it to them. But in education, it's more of the individual going with transformation to experience the change. They see it, they feel it, they experience it. And that's the difference. Transmission versus transformation. And we're going to try that if you can grasp hold of the transformation side, you'll find that you're on your way and you'll apply it even more than just to golf. Does that answer it all, or does it make it further confusing?
Well, it's all confusing to people who don't see it or hear something at the first time. The first time they hear it, I've been looking online as you're talking about some very basic statistical information. Now, according to the United Kingdom website, there's over 60 million people worldwide who are part of the golfing community. In the United States, it's somewhere around 30 million. So there's a lot of people who are participating in the sport, but not a lot of them take the time to really think through the process, do they?
Yeah, true. And I think most of them, or a lot of them, that don't take the time is that it's not that they're not looking, but there really seems nothing to be available because they see their friends go take lessons and they see it about 100% of the time that within a short period after they've taken lessons, it falls apart and the people lose their swing. And they see some of them come out a lot more confused after the lesson than that they do before a lesson. So it's cause for some people to have what they call paralysis by analysis. Paralysis by analysis, meaning that the golfer who once had that fluid swing now becomes basically paralyzed over this. He can't seem to pull it off. It's a lost swing. And it's simply because he's trying to analyze it too much. And when you're talking about our program was about thinking, it was. And the articles that were written, I think it even starts out, if you have Ken Willis's one, was how to think about golf. That's how reporters get it. But sometimes when you really get behind the scene, it's going to be how not to think. Now, that's a tough one to put across for us because we don't believe in negative communications. We want positive images, doing less or trying to get lower score. These negative thinkings just don't work because they don't produce a visual image in the mind. And that's what story does. If you go and you read a book to a child or you read another book yourself, the book makes no sense without images. They build characters, and you form an image of them within your mind. And that's how the true learning takes place.
Well, Richard, let me pause for a second here. I'm going to take a little commercial break. I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. So hold on there. You're listening to Around Town from Daytona Beach with Ken English. This is Richard Charette is my guest today. This segment of the program is brought to you by Hetty Wise, Luxury Real Estate, 386luxury.com.
If you are looking for a luxury beachside condominium, yet one that truly feels like a home, it is here in Daytona Beach Shores, Florida. My name is Hetty Wise, real estate consultant and certified luxury home marketing specialist with Keller Williams Realty, Florida Partners. Today, we are here previewing Unit 400 in Oceans Grand. This is a stunning three-bedroom, three-bath, southeast corner condo with a view of the intercoastal waterway and a peak of the ocean. You will love watching the ongoing boat activity from your signature dining nook. Unit 400 features double door entry, a grand foyer, volume ceilings, newer granite counters, glass backsplash, top of the line appliances, and three balconies to enjoy both sunrise and sunset. Oceans Grand offers the best of beachside living, and your dog will also love it here. Located in the heart of Daytona Beach Shores, a short walk to the beach, golf, tennis, supermarket. Price to sell under $400,000. Call me today for more details and to schedule your private showing. 386-316-1870.
This is Ken English. You're listening to Around Town from Daytona Beach. My guest today is Richard Charette, and we're talking about inside-out education. To increase accuracy and lower your score with golf, the inside-out is the thinking process, but as you just mentioned, Richard, people overthink, and it's really not, and it is hard to explain. You say you want them to use the mind, but you don't want them to think. And so that becomes a somewhat of a complicated statement, isn't it?
Yeah. When you put it into words, it sounds very complicated. But in reality, once you experience, you'll find out that you take control of your body. And it's not by telling your body, it's by building ideas, building moral standards for you that you follow without thinking. There are times I'm sure that if anybody has driven a car often over the same route, it's like coming home from work or wherever, and a day goes by, all of a sudden, you're like let's say it's a 4 or 5 mile trip. You're sitting in your driveway, and you know the places you're supposed to pass, but it's like you don't even recall going by them. what you remembered, you got in your car to leave to work or school or wherever, and all of a sudden you're in the driveway. A lot of refer to it as autopilot. It's without really thinking. You could turn and say, well, some go to it in a weak form is like habit. You don't really need to be telling yourself step by step. And it goes on autopilot. Now, auto industry or law enforcement or different ones say this is not a good idea to go on autopilot. But I've never really seen it hurt to any extent that was provable. But I know that it helps considerably in golf. Because you take some of the greats like Mo Norman or Jack Nicklaus, a lot of them still alive. If you read in his book, Golf My Way, one of the things he advocates is he never takes a shot without first seeing the image in his mind. So he's not trying to think of it. He just relaxes, sees what he wants the ball to do, and then lets it happen without trying. Now, does it work 100% of the time? No, almost. Thank God it don't. We're humans, and we want to. It's enacting in certain ways, but we can control a lot of it in a golf game, and it's not really easy because you go from one extreme of a full swing down to putting, down it. You go from this, oh my God, this, you got water in front of you. We can cover all some of these in different segments of how they affect you and focus in on some of the aspects that will help you play in golf or achieve in any sport. But as the first time we're talking about it, it's kind of bouncing around a little bit of all the different things that you can experience. One of them is you're going to get lower score. You can hit the ball longer. You can hit it straighter. And the last one I call like more C's is more consistency, more control, more confidence. We got a whole list of them. And each one of these should be addressed singly and focused on that and go out and let it apply, let it fit into your repertoire of your what you got for your golf. Like Ken Willis called it, the 19th club, the 19th tool, or the, playing the 19th hole. And we have some stories about that.
Well, in the future, we'll certainly isolate and talk about a couple things in more depth. But we wanted to just kind of an umbrella approach to this today. We got about 5 more minutes to go in today's show, and maybe this is the 5th of your show. It's the show radio, but we'll be doing this from time to time, and maybe even on a regular basis. But you mentioned a fellow by the name of Mo Norman. Many people today don't know who he was because he has passed away. Touch on Mo Norman just for a couple of minutes here.
Okay, and I'm not going to go into super detail because those that do know Mo Norman or understand him or have had the privilege of watching him play understand that he was the greatest ball striker of all time. Written up magazines, written up newspapers and all. It was pretty well accepted. He's the greatest ball striker of all time. And how he achieved that, he had a kind of a tough life. When I first met him in 1991, he passed on in 94. And it was 91 that he was leading a kind of a tough life. He lived out of his car. If you people who do know him thought he was like, not an idiot, but he didn't have the highest of IQ. The closest I can recall to who he was like was not a real person at all. Mo Norman was the real person, but a movie character that I enjoyed the movie fantastic, and I related it, I thought, was there's a Mo Norman. It was Forrest Gump. And if anybody knows the story of Forrest Gump, he had an IQ of about 75 is what he was being portrayed at by Tom Hanks. And he achieved so much in life and so simple. I've got a little story on both Mo Norman and Forrest Gump that kind of almost link them together. But they did things fantastically in a simple, simple way. And if you haven't seen Mo Norman, if you haven't seen Mo Norman and you want all the secrets that you really need, all that you need to play fantastic golf, go to the YouTube, look for Fireside Chat with Jack Kirkendall and Mo Norman. It runs for 17 minutes and 4 seconds. And if you follow those instructions thoroughly, really listen to it, and that's listening more than once. You don't need any lessons from instructors on the mechanical games, educators on your cognitive skills, on how you think. It's all right there. And in all our lessons, much of what we will point to is on what Mo Norman did and how he done it. Just a super fantastic individual, super, super honest. And let me show you how I linked Forrest Gump to golf. It opened, he was sitting on the park bench, and he had in his lap, I'm sure everybody remembered, the box of chocolate. He admired him, and he talked to the lady next to him and offered her one. And he identified that life is like a box of chocolate. He premised it with, my mom always said, life is like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. And that's about why a lot of golfers play golf. They go to that first tee, no idea what they're going to get. It's like a box of chocolates. So until the next time, Mo, that's not an insult. That's a praise of you. But, Ken, you've been a help. I think we should pull this off more often with an agenda, with segments that focus in on certain aspects of the game, and they will see an improvement. It will work. So let's get it so we can schedule it and do what we got to do to bring it to market. Thanks for having me on, and I'm looking forward to the next time.
All right, Richard. Richard Charette, thank you so much for your time, and we'll be talking again real soon. This is Ken English, bringing the internet radio program around town from Daytona Beach. In future episodes, not only the golf segments with Richard Charette, but we're going to be looking at some of the different activities that take place on the water side of Daytona Beach. The water side is overlooked by many people and taken for granted, yet there's sailing and paddle boating and stand-up paddle boarding. There's power boats and a number of activities. And one of these activities that's coming up over the Memorial Day weekend is the short race, sprint offshore sailboat race, which is part of the Gulfstreamer race, Daytona Beach to Charleston, South Carolina. But the first leg is from Ponce Inlet to Daytona Beach Pier. And we're working on promoting and focusing attention on the nearshore component to showcase what's going on. The theme of the tourism people right now is wide, open, fun. And boating is certainly part of the wide, open fun. So this is Ken English from Daytona Beach, wishing you a very pleasant day. And I'll be back again soon.